So let's continue our theme. Before we chanted, I said, what might it be that's behind all the agitations? What might it be that's constant? What might that be? Let's hear what the Upanishad says about it.
The self is the source of abiding joy. Our hearts are filled with joy in seeing him enshrined in the depths of our consciousness. If he were not there, who would breathe, who live? The self it is who fills every heart with joy. When one realizes the self, in whom all is one, changeless, nameless, formless, then one fears no more. Until we realize the unity of life, we live in fear.
So this says, something is enshrined in the depth of consciousness which fills the heart with joy. Not knowing that, we live in fear. The something it's pointing to, it gives the name self to. We could give it many names. Doesn't matter for now. The something that you felt when we sat in silence at the beginning, the something that you felt just now when we chanted the mantras. Something lives in the depth of consciousness. In other words, in the depth of you, in the center of you. Something lives in the center of you, which fills the heart with joy and gives life to the experience being had by you. What is this something? Let me give you this thought experiment, I suppose it is. I think it is a thought experiment. If you think back a few decades of your life, when you were a teenager, think about that. Think about when you were a teenager. Something about you was living the day, experiencing the teenage day, experiencing your mind, experiencing your desires, experiencing your actions, experiencing the world, experiencing the people around you. Something was experiencing the fullness of that experience of being a teenager. Think of yourself now. You are not, I don't think anyone here is a teenager. You are no longer a teenager. It's disappeared. Your body is not the same. Your mind is not the same. Your environment's not the same. Your actions are not the same. Your physiology, your blood is not the same. Your thoughts are not the same. What you want is not the same. The teenageness has disappeared. Yet here you sit today in this room with me, fully experiencing, quite naturally, this moment. That which was experiencing the teenage day and that which is experiencing this moment is the same. I promise you, if you really seriously look at that point, if you reflected upon it carefully, if you inquired into it, you would come to the irrefutable, obvious acceptance that that's true. Something is constantly experiencing, you see. Teenageness, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 99 years old, birth, death, sleep, waking, activities, agitations, happiness. Something is experiencing the whole thing, and that thing you call yourself. It's not a memory. It's not a memory of being a teenager. It's not that. It's the actual experiencing power that was living the teenage day is exactly the same power that's living this moment. This is exciting news. If it puzzles you, I'm not surprised, because it's an unusual thought. But I promise you, it's the reality. This is very liberating information. It means now in this life, in these weeks ahead, in these months ahead, whatever happens in your mind, agitations, happiness, good things, bad things, whatever goes on in your life, that which is experienced, which is you, is continuous, is continuing. All the events are not continuing, the rising, the falling, I win the football, I lose the football. It's raining, it's sunny. A good thing happens, a bad thing happens. The things will still happen, you can't stop the things happening. But that Upanishad said, something is present in the depths of consciousness. In other words, in the absolute center of you, something is present, which is giving life, the life, to you, and which is filling the heart with joy. You might say to me, that's all very well, it's a nice idea, but I don't feel joyful. My life is difficult, my life's tricky. I'm going through some hard times, I've got some tough memories. I'm oppressed by this idea or that memory or that thought or this duty or this disappointment. And again, I respond to you, I put it to you, that those agitations are understandable because of the context of your life. But they are events, incidents, things to deal with practically, things which will come and go, just like maybe one of your teenage days was filled with trauma. It's not unusual for our teenage days to be occupied by some trauma. At the time, whatever that trauma was, and I don't underestimate, some traumas are really, really bad experiences, of course, we all have bad experiences in different ways. While that was happening, the moment was catastrophic, desperate, awful, crippling, affecting, savage. It doesn't exist now. A memory may, an impact in your mood may, some connection with it may. But the event itself has disappeared in space. It doesn't exist. It's not there. Something was experiencing that traumatic day, just as something experienced a beautiful, romantic, wonderful, happy, thrilling teenage day. The events are bound to rise and fall, all according to the consequences of our minds. This is the human experience, all depending on our karma, all depending on life events. If, the Upanishad was referring to this point, if you fundamentally believe that you are the mind, you are the senses, you are the events, if you really believe that, then your life is, it said, filled with fear. If you come to the recognition that even though those things might be happening, what you actually are is not those things, but that which is experiencing those things all the time, then that threat of fear, if there is fear, it's only temporary, it's only momentary. The difference between the two is the removal of that ignorance I mentioned at the beginning, and the gaining of knowledge, the understanding of, my goodness, this is real, this is a real accurate description of how things are. This is accurate, this is not some fancy, this is actually how it is. To come to that point does require sadhana, does require spiritual practice, does require application, does require some effort. The words of the Vedanta on the page describe the reality. Coming to the experience and acceptance of that requires some application, some spiritual effort. And today we're speaking about that. I suppose it's very common and understandable, isn't it, that most people who want to find happiness in their lives, as everyone does, find it by changing circumstances. So it's quite a natural thing to want to do. If your circumstances are troubling, you'll try to change them and make them a bit better. This is perfectly sensible. It's perfectly sensible to do that. A point comes, and it will have happened to many people here in the room, the majority of people in the room, where you will intuitively understand that happiness doesn't come from circumstance. Only temporary moments do. Circumstances are not permanent. Circumstances are temporary. They rise and they fall. They're not reliable. And you will have understood that the contentment that you intuitively seek doesn't come from manipulating circumstances. There's something else, something deeper, which will be the source of ongoing, contented, accepting happiness. And that's not to do with circumstance. That's to do with discovering the reality of the ongoing spirit of you that we were just speaking about and that the Upanishads mentioned. Why is it 10 past 11? Perhaps the scientists at CERN could explain the answer to that question. But it is 10 past 11, so I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to guide you in the spiritual inquiry meditation that leads to the experiential reality of what I've been speaking about, and then we'll have a break.